Call the meeting to order. Roll call, please.
Commissioner Gilliland.
Here.
Councilmember Handy Peters.
Present.
Commissioner Cloudman.
Here.
Commissioner Nevick.
Here.
Councilman Conroy.
Here.
Commissioner Curry.
Here.
Commissioner McGurk.
Here.
Councilmember Saylor.
Here.
Commissioner Stowers. Councilmember DiLorenzo.
Here.
Councilmember Ford.
Here.
Councilman Schoenherr.
Here.
Commissioner Rebels is excused. Councilmember Patterson.
Here.
Councilmember Denny.
Here.
Councilmember Cusack's excused. Councilmember Lowry. Councilmember Wagner.
Here.
Mayor Emmett.
Here.
Vice Mayor Rogers. Councilmember Wheeler.
Here.
Commissioner Shoup.
Here.
Mayor Gibson's excused. Mayor Saul. Councilmember Perone.
Here.
Linda Costello.
Here.
Heather Blank.
Here.
Judy Craig.
Here.
Bob Stork.
Here.
And we have a quorum, and Councilmember Wheeler is the voting member of the Small City Alliance for Daytona Beach.
Thank you. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I think it was interesting. I saw in the newspaper about Howard Stetson. They had a whole bunch of people that were coming in to become citizens, and I was reading the pledge that they had to make in order to become a United States citizen, and I was wondering how many people today would look at that pledge and actually sign it themselves that are already, you know, here. Because, I mean, when you say that you will willing to take up arms against your own country that you came from, pretty dramatic. So anyway, my little comment to start off. Do we have anybody for public participation? Okay, we're going to move on to the consent. Pardon me? I appreciate that, Mr. John. Consent agenda. Anybody have any items on the consent agenda that they'd wish to pull off?
Motion to approve consent agenda. Gilliland.
We have a motion to approve. We have a second. Is there any debate, any discussion, any objection to the motion? Without objection, show the motion to pass the consent agenda unanimously. All right. Well, today we have just a couple of items on the agenda, but they're big and huge, and we're going to do it. We have to have a public hearing on the Draft River to Sea TPO 2040 Long Range Transportation Plan. Do we have anybody wishing to speak on that? Public hearing on that plan. Okay, we're going to move on to Roman numeral 5A, review and approval of Resolution 2015-18, adopting the Draft River to Sea 2040 Long Range Transportation Plan. Lois, you have any comments?
I do. Thank you very much. The reason our agenda is short today is so that we can spend a little bit of time, just a little bit of time, focusing on the long-range plan. It's important. It is the most comprehensive planning project that we undertake. It's the most costly planning project that we undertake. It is required by law, but it is extremely important to everything that we do in this area. The plan itself extends out at a minimum a 20-year period. Now, the first 5 years, we already have the DOT's work program, our transportation improvement program, so we go 20 years beyond that. So this plan goes out to the year 2040. It helps us develop a vision and try to predict where we're going to be headed. How many people will be living in this area? How much employment will exist? How people may get from point A to point B? And so we do a lot of forecasting, trying to estimate what might happen out into the future. The long-range plan is also required to be consistent with your comprehensive plans. So state plans and local plans, the state transportation plan as well as your local comprehensive plans, they all need to make sense and be headed in the same direction. So we review those over the course of this project. So the long-range plan itself is required to include certain things. It's required to identify and outline the major capacity capacity-enhancing projects. These are the interchanges and the road widenings for the new roads that we intend to build. That's what we're talking about when we talk about capacity enhancement. There are a lot of smaller projects that we do to try to improve the system, and we call those program expenditures. Those might be turn lanes or the installation of various ITS projects, new technology, signal timing. Other programmatic expenditures that we identify are transit, bicycle and pedestrian and trail projects. We don't have to outline every project, again, because they're typically smaller in nature, and we can't forecast those needs over a 20-year. But we do have to set aside the money for those projects if we expect to take them on over time. And then finally, there are projects of regional significance. So the plan itself, we spend some time, we certainly do a lot of public outreach, and we did that along the way. We also do a lot of technical forecasting to try and estimate the demand on the transportation network. And we did that by using two alternatives this time. One was that if we just continue the way we've been going, and that we call that the trend alternative, and that considers no changes in land use, just that we're going to continue to grow and develop in the ways that we currently have permitted, and we just try to find all of the transportation projects that we need to implement in order to accommodate all of that growth. And that's kind of historically how long-range plans have been developed. But we also did a second alternative, and we called it a what-if. And we said, what if we develop a little different? If our patterns and land uses change, and we pull things closer together, and we start to rely more on transit. And so we forecasted that future as well. So instead of just identifying transportation improvements, we identified land use changes as well as transportation improvements, because we know that the two things go hand in hand. And if we can eliminate some trips or shorten the distance of some trips, we reduce the demand on the system, and therefore we reduce the number of projects that we need. So in this particular plan, and the summary report is included in your agenda packet, and it is really the summary of the heart of our transportation plan. It outlines our programs, and it outlines those projects that I was just talking about. The big difference that you'll notice if you've been around or if you looked at our existing long-range plan, the big difference in this plan is that we have included in the plan the programmatic expenditures that we haven't included in the past. We haven't made that commitment in our long-range plan. And that's important because if you consider out of the over $800 million that is projected over the 20-year period in state and federal funds that we can program through the TPO, 17% of that money is going to things other than road widening projects. It's going to bicycle and pedestrian, it's going to transit, it's going to a new category that we've included called local initiatives. Local initiatives will help fund complete street projects and things that we aren't currently able to really find funding for. So we're setting aside money and recognizing that communities want to go back and take some of these corridors that were developed in the 70s, for example, and they want to bring them up to current standards. That'll make them operate and function more efficiently. It'll make them safer. We want to give communities the opportunity to do that. The other big change is we've included a number of local projects on the plan this year. And some of that is the influence of our expansion of the TPO area up into the Flagler County Palm Coast area. Because Palm Coast, much like the city of Deltona, they don't have a lot of state roads. And so their needs are really more on what are considered off-system projects. The challenge with that is we are limited. And the guidance that's out there for long-range plans says that only 10% of the money that you are given or that is forecasted for your planning area can be used off the state road system. Well, we spent a little time talking to the DOT about this, and they agreed to increase that for us up to 20%. So we have actually taken 20% of the state and federal funds allocated to this area, and we've allocated them to some local road projects. And we know that at the local level, there's a challenge right now with funding and meeting the needs. But as I've described before, a lot of our state roads in this planning area are policy constrained. We don't want to widen them anymore. They run right through the hearts of some of our communities, and our real needs are on developing parallel facilities and other options to help traffic circulate. So again, we were able to do that in this plan. What you have in the summary report, and you have some additional tables in front of you, are the SIS projects. That's the strategic intermodal system. These are the really large projects, and they are primarily developed or programmed at the state level. But of course, the Department of Transportation coordinates with us to make sure that their list is reflective of what our priorities are. And we use this long-range plan to communicate projects that might not be on that programmed or funded list just yet. And we've done that again with a couple of projects. If you consider the State Road 100 projects and some of the State Road 40 projects, you'll see them on the SIS list, and then you'll also see them on the state federal other list. And the reason for that is they're not currently on the SIS cost feasible plan. So we're allocating some of our state and federal funds that we get it through the TPO to make sure that they get on a cost-feasible list, and they are included in the long-range plan. We would expect for DOT ultimately to start to fund those as a part of their SIS cost-feasible, which will loosen up our local funding, and they can be reallocated at some point if necessary. So we have all of the SIS projects outlined. Are there any questions about the SIS list or projects that may or may not be on this list?
Okay. Any questions?
Moving over to the state, federal, other.
Yeah, I have one. Just one, because you asked if we had any questions about anything not on the list. I'm aware this is the result of a long process, but we will start the process again next year. And I think we have to take a look at the interchange at 95 and Dunlawton, with the possibility of building a cloverleaf there in the future. That is an emergency exit route for Beachside and for anyone else along that route. And there's no way you can get through that intersection onto 95. And even though, you know, we're looking in the future of having more access southwards, you know, extending Williamson, et cetera, 44 and Pioneer Trail, perhaps connecting. That area is going to continue to develop more and more as time goes on, and that's a severe bottleneck.
Yeah, well, and that's a very good point. I know Dunlawton has been looked at a number of times and had smaller improvements, and certainly you'll see in our plan we have a series of interchanges that are on the unfunded needs list that we recognize are going to come under that same pressure over time. They're currently not developed surrounding the interchange, but we know that once that development occurs, that those interchanges are probably not going to handle the additional capacity going forward over, again, a 20-year period. Some maybe sooner than others. We've sent that signal to DOT that we want them to start looking at those in greater detail, whereas in the past we've kind of been looking at a very high level. It's time to start looking at them in greater detail. And you're right, we will go through this process again, and we can start opening the discussion for projects like Dunlawton as well.
Just a second. Commissioner Ford?
Yeah. I just want you to know there will be an initiative coming out of Port Orange to TPO to take a look at that intersection. And it's going to be a broader look. We're going to take a look at alternatives to Dunlawton as well, to kind of see if we can split out some of it. So we are now in the process of deciding that what's going on there is unacceptable, and we've got to do something. There will be no easy solution. We're right now looking at Yorktown as a roundabout, one of Williamson and Yorktown, which doesn't exist yet, Yorktown, but we're going to be cutting it through in the future year. But we are actually, for too long, we just sat there and let it happen. But I think the council in Port Orange has given it a priority, and we're tired of listening to the excuses. We're going to move forward in some way to see if there are alternatives. We don't know. We've even talked about putting another bridge over 95 at Taylor Road back to see if we could get traffic off Dunlawton going over to Williamson a back way. So we're looking at various options, none of which are pretty, by the way, in terms of cost. But clearly, probably the worst, I don't know if it's the worst, but it certainly rivals anywhere else in the county in terms of congestion at this point. What is really unhappy is for too long it has let to just deteriorate. And by the way, there's more development on its way, so it the future looks even grimmer for getting through there. So I just do want you to know that it is in its infancy. We are allowing our new city manager to take his regal tour of the county and get to meet everyone before we really put him to work. And this is going to be one of his first major project.
He's trying so hard to make this a celebratory moment. Grim. I don't want to talk about grim. You're right, though. You know, we recognize, and again, it goes back to what I was saying, which is, you know, in cases like Dunlawton, Granada, State Road 44, in the east and in the west, these roads, the interchanges and the roads themselves, the local governments aren't interested in widening. They're interested in trying to find other ways to get traffic around and through and across and over the interstate so that traffic can continue to circulate and not have to get bottled up and congested right at those points. But all of those interchanges are experiencing the same thing. US-1, the issue, I think, is more surrounding the fact that it was built a long time ago and the curves are very narrow, and there's some other issues that are being dealt with. So again, I think it warrants a look at each of these interchanges, because we know that if they're problematic now, 20 years from now, they're really going to be in trouble. But you know, there's a limit to how much widening we can do. So again, we will definitely be open to taking a look at that as we move forward. So moving on to the next list, which is the other alternative or other arterial list. Again, these are a combination of state roads and local roads that have been determined to be of the highest need for our funding. That doesn't mean that this encompasses all the needs in this area. We are just limited to A, the amount of money, and B, where we can spend that money. So these are the projects that we are able to fund, and you see the time periods that are reflected for getting those projects. Again, because we know that inflation drives project costs up over time, and we have to be realistic in how we're expecting these projects to get funded and implemented over time. Again, if some of these projects like State Road 100 or State Road 40 do move onto the CIS list, then that frees up some of this money to be reallocated, and we'll just see if that happens over time. We'll come back and make changes if we need to. Moving further along, we have the local road list, and this is a road list that's provided by the County of Volusia, and it's not that we don't communicate with Palm Coast or Flagler County, but the County of Volusia is the single entity that has a, not as robust as before, but a fairly robust road program. And it is important in telling the story about where we're headed to make sure that we include these roads. This is a much shorter list than we've had in prior years, and I think most of us are pretty well aware of the reasons for that. And that is something that the county will have to tackle moving forward. We, as a TPO, do not formally approve this list. Obviously, this is up to county council to determine the priorities and to determine the projects that go on this list. But what we are doing is we have to include it for informational purposes this allows some of these projects to be eligible for federal funding that isn't programmed or forecast in as a part of our long range plan. That might be TRIP funding or SIGP grants, things like that. So projects that are included in a plan, like the long range plan, typically get a little more regard if you're looking for other funding options. So this is important for the county to have these reflected. It's important for the TPO in terms of communicating to the public what we expect to happen or hope will happen over the 20-year period based on the financial forecasts that are available. And then, as I mentioned earlier, we have the SIS needs list, which in this case includes some interchanges that we know will come under pressure in the future. So that being said, as I mentioned, the two really sort of significant changes that we've had, one is that we're programming a lot of money just to make our existing system function better and safer, and then also to use some of our money to help fund some local projects. We've spent 2 years working on this plan. It has been an enjoyable process, maybe for me more than some other people. I do want to recognize, because it's our biggest plan, both Jean Parlow, who is TPO staff and the project manager on this, as well as Martha Moore, who has presented to you a number of times. I would ask if you would join me in recognizing them. We will spend the next couple of months writing the full report and pulling together all of the modeling documentation and public outreach documentation. That report we hope to have available in draft form by the November meeting. We will have it on the January agenda. Ideally, we would do it in December, but we don't meet in December, so we will be looking at bringing that full report, which will be hundreds of pages, and I'm sure you'll love to read, but it does include all of the detail for those of you that are very detail-oriented. Again, that'll come back in January. With that, I'll ask if there are any questions, and if not, I would...
Commissioner Saylor, do you have any questions regarding the long-range transportation?
Yes, I do on this one. Item number 12 got changed from what I thought it was. Rhode Island to French, yes, it's needed. But from Rhode Island to Debury is far greater need than that is. The problem is that's a junction for University High School out there.
Commissioner, right that's on the county list. What
I
you're
know
talking.
That we need to take and make sure the county's aware of this. And so unless we bring it up, that's where I want to make sure, especially with the safety of a high school. That's a major thing out there with only one road going to it.
Well,
is it the priorities of Rhode Island, or it's that particular project
that
was not what you all considered your highest priority?
My highest priority is getting it going south, because about one-third of the students come from Debury. They'll take traffic off of 1792.
Well, and again, this is one of the reasons that we include this, because, again, it's important for us to make sure that we understand all of the projects. But, again, the TPO does not dictate.
That's a county one, I understand. But
maybe I'm misunderstanding, but on the local road project list, those numbers are map numbers. They're not numbers.
Yeah, I understand that. But the other one is not even on it.
Well, this is the list that was provided by county staff.
And we'll go ahead and pass that feedback along to them and make sure that the staff that have provided this to us are aware of that comment.
Yeah, the list, this there, is basically, if you look at the bottom, says this is for informational purposes only. So we'll get the message across to them. Okay, Ron?
Well, the other one got dropped off completely. That's where I was concerned.
Okay. Any other questions? Ms. Craig?
With the CAC, we have discussed and seen the same presentations very well put together by our group earlier. The concern I have. CAC is the new school that's being built in Pearson. They're putting sidewalks up, but the State Road 17 is only widening to 40, which means after that is where the new school is going to be, right on 17, and it's only two lanes. I know that there's been studies, and they've said that there's no need, but I'm afraid that the first child that gets killed or something happens is going to be too late.
The issue of the school, the elementary school that's going to be constructed here in the next couple of years along US 17 and safety, we've actually sat down and had a couple of meetings with the Department of Transportation, the Town of Pearson, Volusia County Schools, and you'll probably be seeing something on your agenda next month for that. Volusia County Schools passed a resolution supporting the construction of a sidewalk and or trail in that area. The Town of Pearson has been looking for that, and we do have that project on our priority list. The reality, though, is, you know, our process is not, when left alone, a very fast process. And so the construction of that school is going to be in the very near term. So we've been talking about ways and how we might be able to accelerate that. And so once we have those details, we'll be bringing something back for you all to consider and take action on. The widening of the road is a separate issue, but a somewhat related issue, because certainly we don't want to build something and then in 5 years start looking at a road widening that's going to tear up and redo. Sometimes that's unavoidable. Again, it depends on how far down the road. We had a study, as Ms. Craig pointed out, done on US 17 widening to the north, and the pre-screening showed that there wasn't going to be enough demand to justify beginning work on that project. So it is just outside of the horizon. We recognize that there may be safety issues, but the widening project itself is just not justified at this point.
Mayor?
What do you mean by justified? Traffic, you're talking about the
yes.
amount of traffic?
Yes, based on demand.
Have you checked the traffic over there lately?
Well, I haven't, but the engineers that were working under consultation to DOT have.
And not only that, 17 is a unique highway. We all know that. But from the Leon Springs to the Putnam County line is probably the only portion of that that is not four lane. Now, I can understand, but when that school goes in up there on 17, there's going to be some major work has to be done right there. Big turn lanes, maybe a caution lights, maybe a stoplight, I don't know. But where the school is going to have to be some major changes made right there. So my point is, I've been sitting here a long time, and every road, bridge that the people on the east side, I know you need it, because I do a lot of my shopping, my doctor's over here. I know the traffic situation. I know it's bad, and everything you people doing is absolutely needed. But where is the traffic coming from to get there? Eventually, if you don't do something on the east side to take care of some of that traffic flow, it's just going to get worse. And in my opinion, now is the perfect time, from even to Leon Springs to 40 is a perfect time, because there's nothing there.
Well, and I think your point regarding how traffic is going to access that school is very well taken. And as a part of our, you know, we've currently just been focusing on making sure that there was safe pedestrian access and advancing potentially the project that will help provide that. But as a part of those discussions, we will have a conversation with the department as well about whether or not they are programming or looking at changes or what those changes are in order to accommodate the additional traffic that will be trying to get to and from the school during parent drop-off in the morning and the whole, you know, that experience that some of us get to deal with sometimes. And we'll come back and give a presentation of what that's going to look like to make sure that we're all clear about, again, whether there's going to be traffic signals, turn lanes, and what might be a part of it.
I know there was a meeting, I guess this maybe this week or last week, on maybe the sidewalk on going from
yes.
up to the new school. Now, is that going to be just a regular sidewalk? Is that going to be a bicycle sidewalk? Is it going to be 12 foot?
We don't know that yet. The request was for a trail, but that would require a maintenance agreement to be signed by Volusia County because DOT won't maintain that. So we're still trying to determine whether it's going to be a sidewalk or a trail.
Okay.
Motion to approve, Gilliland.
We have a motion to approve the resolution 2015-18 adopting the draft of River to Sea TPO 2040 Long Range Transportation Plan. Did I hear a second?
Second, Wheeler.
Except we have a second on that. Is there any discussion? Any debate? On this, I'll take a vote. Is it all in favor? Say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Nay.
Nay.
Had one nay. All right, thank you. Moving on to item B, review and approval of resolution 2015-19, amending the fiscal year 2015-16, 2019-20 transportation improvement program. Lois?
This is fairly straightforward. Each year as the five-year work program advances, we drop off the old year and we add projects into the new year. There are some projects that were in that last year, that prior fiscal year, that for one reason or another just didn't get authorized, and they want to carry over into the current fiscal year. The DOT's work program automatically rolls those projects forward. The TIP does not, so we have to amend the TIP to include those projects that, again, just didn't get moving forward in the previous fiscal year. So the department typically gives us a list of those projects, and we go ahead and program an amendment to, or approve an amendment to go ahead and make sure that our two documents are in sync. If you have any questions on any of those projects, we're happy to answer them. Again, otherwise, we will look for a motion to approve.
Move to approve, Dennis.
Second, Gilliland.
We have a motion to approve the resolution 2015-19 amending the fiscal year 2015-16, 2019-20 transportation improvement program. Any debate? Is any opposition to the motion? Without opposition, so the motion passes. Presentation status reports and discussion items, the FDOT report. Mr. Ferguson?
Yes, the project on 415 is moving forward. We expect that project to be pretty much wrapped up in 5 to 6 months or so. Moving on down, we have I-4 from 44 up over to I-95. Right now, our current estimate is something in the 7 to 8 month range for final wrap up on that. And then we're going ahead to the 92 pedestrian bridge. That project is nearing completion. We expect it to be wrapped up sometime early next year. Following that is the I-95 I-4 system-to-system interchange project, a real big one right outside the door here. That project is maybe 15 to 16 months away from its final complete date. Further on down the list, we have 92 from Oakland Farm to Beach Street. This project is currently on track for completion sometime later this year. Ideally, before the end of calendar, there could be some spillover from that. Rather long project. Then we have 11 and 15, the mill and resurface job. That one is making steady progress. Probably another 3 months or so before we get the final, the final clearance to the contractor. A similar time frame is in place for the project on US 1, Harbor Road to Fleming, milling, resurfacing, et cetera. That should be done also later this year. Finally, we also have the I-95 over to Mocha Farm, or to Mocha River, pardon, project. That's going to be at least 8 or 9 months before we're wrapped up on it. Let's see, we've got a number of rather routine sorts of maintenance kinds of projects. And then moving on down to the end, I've got 472 and 1792 interchange. Right now, that's on track to be complete in approximately 1 year. Thank you.
Any questions of Mr. Ferguson? Thank you, Mr. Ferguson. Lois, the Executive Director's report.
Thank you. I think I already covered the recognition item that you see in your package, but there was one other thing that I wanted to discuss briefly, and that is, you all know that each year we develop priority project lists, and for certain set-aside projects, bicycle pedestrian projects and traffic operations projects, we accept applications from local governments. They submit their projects, those projects get ranked, and then we submit those lists to the Department of Transportation when they start to develop the work program. We have funding available in the current year as well as in subsequent years to be programmed on projects to help move these projects along. But the department, and I just am putting this out there broadly, the department has had some difficulty in getting projects ready. And ready means a lot of different things depending on what phase of the project is being funded and how a government is moving forward to develop a project. It also involves the certification of that government to be able to manage the project. And that process has tightened up in the last couple of years, and so the department is currently recertifying a lot of local governments. But the reason I want to mention this is we have projects at the top of the list that don't quite have the confidence yet for DOT that they're going to be able to program that work and have it move forward. And because we are in the current fiscal year, we're going to have to move past those and start to go to the next project on the list. And I don't want it to become a surprise to anybody if the project that moves into the current year is the number 6 project on the list, because maybe projects 1 through 5 have problems. So they're working directly with whoever the contact person is for each of these projects to make sure that they have all the documentation that they need and the scopes and schedules. So we're trying our best to work with local governments. But again, if we need to move to the next project, we're at a point in the fiscal year that we're going to have to do that. And so again, we will start to have more detail about that coming forward in the next month. We are working with your staff. We'll be bringing this back to the technical committee. But you know, I'm hoping that either next month or the month after, we'll be coming back with a TIP amendment to move some of those projects off of the priority list and into the work program. And I just want to make sure that you all are not surprised by whatever projects end up on that list. So I'm just putting that out there for you. If you have questions specifically, please let me know what they are, and we'll get more detailed answers for you.
Commissioner Gilliam, do you have a question?
So Lois, the timeline here would be to try and get projects moving forward up before the end of the year?
Yes. Yes, at least in the current year.
Yeah.
But hopefully in the first and second year. So we'd like to try to get those projects into the work program.
Commissioner Saylor, you have a question?
I have a question for her and you.
I'm not answering any questions today.
It comes down to is the 28th of October is our next meeting, and normally we do not hold a meeting in December. But since we moved these meetings to Wednesday and we look at November, do we need to be prepared to discuss the November meeting at our next meeting? That's all I wanted to bring up.
I'll take that up with the executive committee. Any other questions? Okay, move on to the next, the River to Sea TPO board member comments. Anybody have anything good for the order? Transportation related? Ron?
The last meeting, I mentioned the utility.
That's under discussion for the Legislative Affairs Committee.
Okay, well, I just want to make sure, we did get it passed in Orange City, and we did send it to all the mayors and city clerk.
That'll be discussion by the Legislative Affairs Committee, which will be meeting soon, right?
I guess so.
Anything else? Nobody else? You see the information items there, and you'll notice that everybody has a piece of candy here, I guess courtesy of staff. I just want to let you know this stuff is dangerous. It may kill you, or you may have an allergy to it. If you want to suck up to the chair, thank you. It won't move your it won't move your project up. But I'd appreciate it very much. Any other business to come before us? With that, we are adjourned.